Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning, Philadelphia. Welcome in to Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio and 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia. Simply download that iHeartRadio app, and you can listen to us anywhere, crystal clear, worldwide, as we take you in from Xfinity Live here in South Philadelphia for Phillies Nationals this afternoon at 1:35 as the Phillies look to break out the brooms yet again this Sunday. This is becoming more and more of a habit that I can get used to. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio, sitting alongside Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy. What's up, Murph? How we doing today?
Oh, we're doing great. I mean, this team is playing some really good baseball right now. Winners of 9 of 10, 10 of 12. I should have looked up the last time they swept back-to-back four-game series. I didn't look that up, but they have a chance to do that today. They swept Pittsburgh, of course, last weekend, and an opportunity to sweep Washington today. It's been a lot of fun. They win today. It's win number 60 on the season as we sit in the first week of August. So the offense has been good. The pitching's been really good. And let's hope it keeps up. They got to keep it going.
I'll tell you what, man. I know this has been a topic of conversation that we've had a little bit on this show, but more so on Green Legion Radio this past week. And if you look at it, if you take Buck Showalter out of the equation in the National League, Rob Thompson is your National League Manager of the Year as of right now, and he's only been managing for the last couple months. Mm-hmm. But what he has done in coinciding with this turnaround that the Phillies have had since the firing of Joe Girardi, it's pretty incredible. This team is loose. This team is free. They're playing with a lot of fun. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about Nick Castellanos later on in this segment, probably towards the beginning of the second segment. But that home run that he hit in Atlanta the other day, the two-run shot that put them ahead in the eighth inning, and you saw the reaction of the players standing on top of the railing, going crazy, going nuts. That's excitement that the Phillies haven't shown for me in years.
Yeah, it was awesome to see. It shows you that this team is 100% behind Nick Castellanos. He's a very popular guy inside that clubhouse. And I said it that night, and I still believe this, that may go down as the most important win of the summer, because that win in Atlanta kind of, you know, you split the series, you bounce back after a really bad game the night before, and you end up leaving there 1-1, which is totally fine. It happened late. It happened against a good pitcher. It was such an important swing of the bat. And obviously, for Nick Castellanos and personal reasons,
for some runs, it's June 30th.
Yeah, and we've seen now his stroke is really looking good. I mean, he had 8 hits on that road trip alone. He's come home, and he's continued to swing a hot bat. He's taking his base hits when they're there for him, and then he's getting some doubles and an occasional home run when they're there for him, too. So, you know, for all those people that wanted to trade Castellanos or thought Nick Castellanos couldn't hit, baseball is a long season, and you have to let it unfold. And Nick Castellanos has 2 more months to kind of turn things around. And if he is hot in the second half of the season, he can help carry this team deep into a postseason run. So it was great. I at this moment, I would say the best win of the summer.
No doubt about it. And listen, we're brought to you by our friends from State Farm in its first segment. Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, you can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right. Good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Avuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Avuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. That's 856-740-5012. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual and premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. As the fans continue to spill in here, we're going to be celebrating the 1980 World Series champions today. I wasn't alive for it, Murph. I know you were. Not to throw you under the bus with your age or anything,
nope.
But I know we've talked about in recent weeks how much that team was a big reason why you fell in love with baseball in the first place.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 9 years old when the Phillies won in 1980, and I remember that season very well. For a 9-year-old kid who was just really learning baseball at that time.
That's me in 93.
Yeah.
I was 7. That was my team.
And, you know, you go back and you look at some of the box scores. And last year on our podcast, we relived the 80 season with Larry Boa. So I went back and you know, looked at so many different games, and it was such an incredible season. A lot of ups and downs. I mean, there was a time in September you didn't think that team was going to make the postseason, and then they go on a late run and they are able to win the World Series. I had a chance to talk to a bunch of the guys yesterday. A lot of them got into town yesterday. Today at 12 o'clock, they're getting a team photo taken down on the field.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then about 1:05, they'll start introducing the coaches, the bench players, and then the starters at about 1:09 today.
So getting to ballpark earlier.
Yeah, if you want to see the 1980 team and the introductions, you should probably be in your seats by 12:55. That's when it's going to get started with the tribute video. So that's what I would suggest. And a lot of the guys are here. It's really great.
Great job the other night, too, with Dan Baker. It's 50th anniversary with the team. Phenomenal job. I loved his speech. It's such a, you know, anytime, and I know you had the honor and distinct privilege of knowing Dan more on a personal level, but anytime I've ran into Dan Baker, what a phenomenal human being he is and how cordial he is. But the energy that he exuded the other night, and you could tell, like, he's got that big bandage on his face, and I think he missed a couple games a couple series ago. Mm-hmm. Scott Palmer was doing it. They thought it was you. I saw that on Twitter. But, you know, what a great guy he is. And I know his goals, his future goals, is 2026. He wants to do the All-Star game.
Yes.
And he's looking at 60 years. He's like, he wants to poo-poo 50.
Well,
he wants to get to 60.
60 would be the record in Major League Baseball. 59 is the record. The Cubs announcer who started in 1913.
1974 was his last year.
Yeah.
I saw that, too.
He went 59 years. Pat Piper is his name. And then, of course, Bob Shepard up there in New York did 57 years, I believe.
The voice of God.
Yes. So Dan Baker has a very good opportunity to be the all-timer by the time it's all said and done, which would be awesome. I got a chance to talk to a couple of our players about Dan Baker for the pregame show, Breece Hoskins, Aaron Nola, and it was so interesting to listen to them talk about what he means and what that voice means for them as they come out on the field and they do their introductions and they stand there for the national anthem and, you know, even when they come to the plate. And then, of course, during the game, they had all kinds of tributes from all kinds of former players for Dan as well. So it was a great night. Phillies always do these kinds of things.
They do.
Right. And nobody deserves it better than Dan and his wife, Kathy, who was there. She's been with them every step of the way.
That's how they met.
Yeah. So deservedly so, she was honored as well as part of that. And their family was there. So it was an awesome night Friday night. It was an awesome night Saturday night as we honored Ron Reed and Bake McBride. And it's going to be a lot of fun today.
And those two events and those two nights were followed up by Phillies wins.
Yes.
Let's get another one today for sure. But let's give away two tickets here I'm dubbing this the return of Bryce Harper. I'm advertising this on my own. Okay. This is not official.
The game.
This
the
is
game
not
itself.
Official from the Phillies. This is just me putting it out there. Okay. Two tickets to Phillies Mets Friday, August 19th at 7:05 p.m. It just fits perfectly. They're going to be coming back off the road. Dave Dombrowski said they were hopeful 2 to 3 weeks earlier this week when they asked him. And Bryce looks great. He was in good spirits. He was in the broadcast booth on Thursday night with Kruk and Tom McCarthy. So in order to win, you must answer in the comments section on the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page, or our Twitter handle, at Green Legion. Give us a great pair or duo. Can be people,
any
food,
walk of life.
Any walk of life. We're eliminating a couple right off the bat. No Harry and Whitey.
Harry and Whitey would win, so Harry and Whitey off the table.
No Sack and Murph.
We would come in a close second, so
yeah,
we're
no,
off
yeah,
the table.
Okay. Yeah. So listen, we love having our butts kissed, but in this situation, we're just gonna we're gonna dive away from
everybody
that.
Else and anything else is on the table. These are things that go together perfectly.
Like lamb and tuna fish. Or spaghetti and meatball.
Spaghetti and meatball.
See, we're eliminating those two while we're here.
Yeah.
Anybody that's watched Big Daddy for sure. So why don't you give me one of your five?
All right. I'll give you one of my five. And I went all over the place. All right. So I don't really have an order yet. So I'll just pick one and say it. all right. So I said something that goes perfectly together. And I have a new appreciation for it this year. Probably more so than any other time in my life. Baseball and the radio. That connection, baseball and sitting at the beach or in your car, it's a different way of consuming baseball. And as radio announcers, we need to understand that.
You paint the picture.
Yeah, not only that, but we also know that you're not going to be with us for nine innings, but you might be with us for two and then jump back in for another two later on. It's a different way of broadcasting a game. However, I think it's a very comforting way to listen to baseball. And, of course, we have one of the best in Scott Fransky that we get to listen to every day.
So he just can't catch.
He can't catch. But
he can't catch.
That's really, you know, it's not part of his job description, and we'll kill him for that. But baseball and the radio, two things that go perfectly together. That's one of my five.
Let's eliminate Fransky and L.A. too.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Easy.
Let's take them off there. For me, I'm a big Batman guy. So for me, Batman and Robin.
Okay.
All right. That's pretty simple.
Pretty iconic. Yeah.
Clear cut and crystal. Batman and Robin. We'll take that off. And Slash, what do you have?
Turn my mic on here. I'm gonna go Jack and Coke.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That is a good
Makes
one.
Makes the world go round.
As I'm over here sweating.
I know if I ask Jansen will probably say, him and the Goo Goo Dolls singing Iris.
They're close.
Yeah. No
doubt. Right, Jack and Coke. I like that one.
Jack and Coke
is a good
one.
His would be Creed and Halftime Show.
All right, let's get out of the box right now. Let's start talking some Phillies baseball. I know we were talking about what's been going on with the team as far as on field celebrations this week, but let's talk about the team on the field. Since our last show last Sunday when you were in Pittsburgh, Phillies have gone 5-1. They've won 9 of the last 10. They're season high 11 games over 500. Feels fantastic to say that. Their only loss was the bullpen game in Atlanta on Tuesday night. Sole possession now of the third wild card because Milwaukee has fallen back.
Yep.
And St. Louis has now taken over the NL Central lead. And we're a half game behind the Padres for the second, and the Braves are only four games ahead of us for the top wild card spot, which if you get the top wild card spot, you're going to have the three games here at the bank. Now, mind you, I want that. I want as much postseason baseball at the bank as we possibly can have. Sidebar, though. What are we preferring here as far as the postseason is concerned? I know, listen, we've got a couple months left in the season, but it feels really good to be able to talk about this.
Yeah.
This very weekend last year was when the Phillies took over first place from the New York Mets. Of the division, yes. Now, if you're looking at it in the grand scheme, I know we both want them to just get in any which way, however it happens. But if you look at those potential opponents that the Phillies could line themselves up against, who are you taking?
Yeah, now, obviously, as it sits right now, if the season were to end today, the Phillies would be in that final wild card. They would play the fifth wild card, so the second worst team to get into the postseason, per se. I'm sorry, that's not accurate. They would play the
worst division. Yeah, the NL Central. Just say the NL Central.
It would be either Milwaukee or St. Louis. They're the two teams, if I'm the Phillies, if I'm ranking the teams left, the Mets, the Braves, Milwaukee and St. Louis, I want Milwaukee first, St. Louis second, probably the Braves third, and the Mets fourth.
Well, the Padres are up in there.
Oh, and the Padres too, yeah.
There's a shot.
I haven't seen the Padres' new look yet. I need to see a little bit more of them before I make it a
I'm not a believer in your pitching, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about the trade deadline. Yeah. I want to dive into the Soto deal and why it even had to happen, when it happened. I just felt like they were getting desperate to make it happen. But we'll dive into that in the second segment. But I'm right there with you. I would be fine. Obviously, I want to have the three games here.
Sure.
If you jump into that top wild card spot. But at the same token, if you wind up getting the NL Central winner, I wouldn't mind that either.
No, it's not a bad scenario for sure. But look, if you get into the postseason, you're getting in. That obviously means you've been playing well. You've got Wheeler and what you really want is that you get into the postseason with enough time to kind of set your rotation so that you have Wheeler and Nola in games one and game two of a three-game series. So whether or not you're playing in, St. Louis, or if you're playing in San Diego, or if you're at home, which would be great. But you really, ideally, you have those two guys starting the first two games. I think you can beat anybody at that point.
Right.
I know you can beat anybody at that point.
And they've proven that this year. They've winning records against St. Louis and Milwaukee.
Yeah, the only team.
And San Diego.
Right, so they have the tiebreaker.
And Atlanta. I think they're one game ahead of Atlanta.
I think they're one ahead of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So they have the tiebreaker against all of those teams. So when they're tied with them in the standings, they're actually effectively one game
There's
up.
There's no 163 anymore.
Right. So the Phillies would get, and it's over. So the Phillies have the tiebreaker against Milwaukee. They have it against St. Louis. They have it against the San Diego Padres. And it remains to be seen if they hold it against the Atlanta Braves. They won't catch the Mets in terms of the season series record, I don't think.
They're 3-9 against the Mets. That would
be tough.
You have to sweep the rest of the season, and then I don't know what it goes from there. Because actually, 19 games is what you have against
possible,
the opponent.
You'd have to win
the last seven games.
That'd be all right.
Well, I would like that, but that would have to start next weekend in New York.
Yes, it would. So, again, just to answer your point, just get in and you've got a chance. However, I will say this. Every time Rob Thompson is asked about, hey, you know, you just jumped into the third spot in the wild card, every time he says, okay, but we're trying to win the division. He hasn't given up on the division yet.
Nine and a half back.
Stranger things have happened.
7 games to go against the Mets, too.
Yeah, now the Mets are starting to play pretty good baseball again.
Man.
They got DeGrom back. They've got Scherzer back. They both look like...
DeGrom and Scherzer,
yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good description right there. I think people know what we mean.
Actually, that's a good duo, but we're not...
No, it's not.
We're not voting the Mets.
No.
I mean, only you would pick the Mets to win the division.
I'm looking like a soothsayer right now.
Yeah, well, you need to take like showers after showers after showers. That's how dirty you should feel.
I do. You know how I feel about those New York Mets. However, you know, they are playing well. But this is far from over. And they obviously have to play well against the Mets head-to-head. It's how they caught them back in 2007, right? You know, you can get a game every night if you're playing well against the team right in front of you.
Yeah.
You don't need any other help. You just need to do take care of your business. That said, it'll be an uphill climb, but I love the fact that Rob Thompson never bats an eye. It's okay, yeah, we'd love to get into the wild card, but we're still trying to win this division. And that's a great way of looking at it, and it's a great message to be sending to his guys as well.
Absolutely. Now, let's look at the week, like what the Phillies have done this week. Trade deadline has come and gone now. Everybody on Tuesday morning was sitting there clamoring, like, is Dave Dombrowski awake? When's he going to make his moves? Well, listen, everything happens for a reason. I mean, the first shoe to drop was Brandon Marsh, and then later on they made another deal with the Angels, and they brought in Noah Syndergaard right now to fill in that fifth spot in the rotation. Gives you a little bit more depth there. And then on top of that, they brought back a familiar face, a guy that only had 7 appearances with us in 2 seasons. David Robertson's back, all-star closer with the Cubs this season, which solidifies the back end of your bullpen even more. I know we said it wasn't really much of an issue, like what we were thinking that they could add in and what they needed to do. But, man, I'm very happy with the additions that Dombrowski made. Nothing really overly splashy, which, listen, let's face it, with the way the farm system is, they held on to their really legit top prospects. I know it was hard to probably give up Logan Ohapi, but now you have 5 years of control over a center fielder.
Yeah.
He looks like Jason Worth with the hair and the beard.
Yeah,
and
Charlie Blackman even more so. Yeah,
right? It looks fantastic with the hair. But also... The Phillies had to say goodbye to a few players this week. Odubel Herrera, Jairus Familia, and Dieter Gregorius is gone now, which a lot of people were kind of surprised at. I wasn't really necessarily surprised by it with the bringing Gene Segura back on Thursday off the 60-day IL. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, so that's a lot to unpack. First of all, I thought Dave Dombrowski had a terrific day because he went out there, filled some needs, didn't give up the farm system, as you said. And, you know, David Robertson's already paid dividends. Noah Syndergaard was able to keep the Phils in a game his first start. And they ended up getting the win. So, you know, that's a positive. And, you know, they really like Brandon Marsh. And as you said, he's going to be around for a while. So he's not a rental kind of guy. And they think they can get him right. I mean, you know, he was a pretty high draft pick. He's very
second-round pick.
Yeah, highly sought after. And, you know, this is a guy that they think can play here at the big league level. So, you know, all you have to do is think back to the splashy moves, the big, you know, splashy moves that they made in 2007 and 2000. I mean, guys like Joe Blanton, right? I mean, the city went nuts when Joe Blanton came to town.
They wanted Sabathia or Manny Ramirez.
Oh, wait, Matt Stairs. You had to look up Matt Stairs' numbers figure out.
They just got him in before the September 1st deadline. They traded for him on August 29th, and it was a waiver claim.
Back when you could do that. Yeah. And you can't do that anymore. It's over now. But my point is, you don't, if you have a good team, this is a good team. Tell me where you can add an upgrade that you're not subtracting someone that's just as good or better, right?
Right.
They didn't have a whole lot of spots. The few spots they did, they went out and made minor upgrades at those spots. And that's what you want your president of baseball operations, your general manager to do at those times. And that's what the Phils were able to do. And they didn't mortgage the future to do it. And so I thought they had a great day. The Didi Gregorius thing, I was a little surprised. And only because it's a very difficult decision for an organization to make. Rob Thompson has a long-standing relationship with Didi Gregorius.
Said that was a difficult conversation for him to have.
I'm sure it was. But at the end of the day, it was the right call. Didi was not playing well enough to, you know, deserve to keep that spot. When Gene comes back, and now Nick Maton up, and they sent Jarrell.
Love Nick Maton.
Yeah, I love the energy he brings. So, look, it's a tough decision, but those are the decisions you have to make at this time of the year. You know, Didi will be remembered as a guy that was a good player and a good part of this team. He was a great guy. His teammates loved him, but this is a business, and this team is trying to get into the postseason. They thought this was the best way to make the team better. So
now I know you hate being dirty. You hate feeling dirty when you talk about the New York Mets. You know who hates dirty windows? Premier Window.
I did know that.
Their window cleaning is the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. Over 30 years experience, they offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, you're satisfied. Satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. We have more Phillies talk coming up in the second segment, and we're going to dive into the other moves made in the Major League Baseball trade deadline this week right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
All right, welcome back. Second segment here on this beautiful Sunday. It's a little too hot for my liking, but it's all good. You know, I think I said to my wife yesterday, I can't wait for fall.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I hate wishing away the summer, but for a couple of reasons, I'm looking forward to autumn because I'm hoping we're going to still be playing some baseball as the weather turns a little cool.
Just a little cool.
Yeah, it doesn't need to go down into the 30s. I don't need that.
But absolutely not.
But the 60s and 70s would be fun.
Yeah, but listen, the people that are clamoring right now for us for summer not to be over is our good friends at the Ludlum Bar and Grill.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, you know, they're down there at 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. Yes, it's the old La Costa, and I'm still dreaming of the La Costa lemonade, which is fantastic. Mm. With the complete renovation finished, you will now see a brand new look, feel, and vibe set amongst a casually sophisticated bar, a cozy a la carte dining room, and the only mellow lounge in Townsend's Inlet. The menu is seasonal, offering the freshest local seafood, cooked simple to ensure that flavor that already exists stays that way. You can go to their website, ludlamhotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, hotel.com. Or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Bar and Grill, your new oasis in Seattle City.
You know what's cool about that, by the way?
Sure.
Go for it. Is they're not done. They've got more renovations happening.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they're putting a pool in.
Yeah,
they're,
you saw the posting?
Absolutely.
They're going to have a rooftop bar.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. And, what a great day that was when we did the show down there. And it's a terrific spot. If you're in the area, make sure you stop by and grab one of those lemonades. And if you can send one my way, I didn't get a chance to dabble that day. So.
You know, we've been talking about taking the wives out.
Yeah.
We might have to go to
Ludlum. Might have to go down there.
Yep, yeah. I think we're going to have to try and make that work. All right, so Bud Light Baseball Brunch, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We are back for another segment here on this beautiful Sunday down at Citizens Bank Park. Xfinity Live is the home of the show when the Phillies play in the afternoons at home. Now let's get into the crux of the matter here. Bryce Harper had the pins removed finally from his thumb on Monday. The hope is that he is back in 2 to 3 weeks, and I've kind of teased. I'm leaning towards. I've normally been good in the past. Pat knows, my boy Pat. He knows in the past I've been, hey, I know when Utley's coming back. I know when Howard's coming back. It's been a long time since I actually desired another player to come back. Normally I'm sitting there going, he can stay out longer. But nonetheless, I've circled that date. Friday, August 19th is what I'm hoping for against the Mets. It's a huge series against them.
I think that's a little optimistic.
You think so?
I do. However, I hope you're right, and I'm sure Bryce hopes you're right, and I think he'll be back in the lineup the moment he feels like his timing is back. But you got to remember,
now is it just the lineup? I know he's doing a light throwing program right now, but
so I talked to him on Tuesday, and he reiterated a couple of times that his main focus at this moment right now is to get back in the lineup. Yeah, he's throwing a little bit from his knees, 30 feet. He said it's akin to playing wiffle ball with his kid out back. He's not testing the elbow per se, and he's not going to worry about that. What he is worrying about is getting
that bat back in the lineup.
and get the bat back in the lineup. If he can play right field in September, terrific. But if he can't and he can only DH, that's fine too. And that's kind of where he is right now. And he also talked about he's going to need to go. You know, you saw what Gene Segura had to do. You need to go down. You need to be swinging the bat against, you know,
live pitching guys AAA. That are actually trying to get you out.
Yeah, and you need it not a day or two. You know, this is a hard game. No matter how good you are, Bryce Harper's going to need some time. You know, 5 games, 6 games, 7 games at a rehab stop just to get his timing back. And then, you know, you saw Gene. He comes back. And first couple of games, still a little behind. Last night, boom, boom, boom,
three
hits. Right. So if you take Gene as an example, was that 9 games before he really it looked like he really started to get that timing and feel back? So you have to put that into the equation. So 9 days, if you put that into the equation, we're talking about 3 days from now, him going on a rehab assignment. That's not happening.
So I got to get excited about him coming back against the Pirates in the last week.
Hey, you know what? This team has played really well without Bryce Harper. They're going to be better, obviously, when he's back in the middle of that lineup. But until he is, you can't worry about it. You have to worry about the team that's on the field.
Nor have they.
Which is the best, probably the best story of the year, is how these guys have said, Bryce, we miss you, but until you're back, we got this, and they have, and that's what they got to continue to do. And when Bryce comes back, if I had to bet a little bit closer to September 1st, that's when you welcome him back, you celebrate that, you've got a month of baseball left, and Bryce is in the middle of that lineup, and let's go, kind of thing.
So who are the, I think we kind of know who the voices are in that locker room that have taken that bull by the horns. I mean, obviously, we've had a lot of contributors in the lineup, in the everyday lineup that have come out to play. Who are the guys behind the scenes in that clubhouse that are voicing that? Like, Bryce, we love you. Can't wait for you to come back. But, hey, being the guy, the leader, looking at the rest of the clubhouse and saying, hey, guys, listen, this is our time to shine now. Yeah. This is us. This is our time to show that what we do on the field, we can do it without Bryce. But when Bryce comes back, we're going to take it to a whole nother level. Who are the guys in the clubhouse?
Well, I think it's a handful of guys. I don't know that you could point to one guy in particular. I think Kyle Schwarber probably is tops on that list, just in terms of his personality and the way he carries himself and the way he has won in this league.
He does expect to win,
and he expects the other guys to win as well. Rhys Hoskins is definitely one of those guys. Now that Gene is back, Gene Segura is one of those guys.
Love Mean Gene.
No, I love him too. I love him. It's one of my favorites. And I think from a catcher's standpoint, you know, JT Realmuto is just almost an automatic leader, just because that's the way catchers kind of trend in Major League Baseball. So all those voices. But I will also tell you, Rob Thompson is a big one in that. And they, you know, sometimes players follow their managers, and sometimes they don't. They follow Rob Thompson. So when Rob Thompson puts it out there, like, hey, we'll worry about Bryce when he gets back. Right now, let's worry about us. The guys are like, okay, that's what we're going to do. And that's what they've been doing. So there's a lot of voices in that clubhouse, which is a little bit different from years past. And I think that's what feels different this year, because the Phillies have been here before over the last couple of years.
Last
right?
4 years.
Right. But this feels a little different right now. A lot can happen. Well, let's hope it happens in the positive way rather than the negative way that we've seen over the last couple of years.
Talking about positive ways, I know we brought it up at the beginning of the show, but I look at it like this, man. Bryce Harper, May. Kyle Schwarber, yeah. June. Alec Bohm, July. Nick Castellanos, August. I mean, 2 games won this week because of him. We talked about it, the big home run that he had, the game changer, actually the biggest win of the Philly season so far. That throw, getting the runner out the plate before the skies opened up and Thor's dad brought all the thunder and lightning and everything for sure in the top of the fifth. And I'm going to say this. I know we talked about this on last week's show, but I'm going to give full credit to Stone Cold Jim Salisbury, because since that moment in time, that beef in the clubhouse a couple weeks ago, he's hitting .360, 18 hits, 2 doubles, 2 homers, 9 runs scored, 8 RBI, and 13 games played. And August is the month where he has the most runs scored in his career, triples, home runs, RBI, his best slugging percentage in OPS. Nick Castellanos, it's time to shine, baby.
Yeah, and here's what I'll say about that. I love Jim Salisbury. He's one of my favorite people on the planet. I give him no credit whatsoever. And I give all of the credit to Nick Castellanos, who has continued to be one of the hardest working guys on this team. When the Phillies signed Nick Castellanos, when they signed the free agents in the offseason, I like the Kyle Schwarber signing, and I love that he's here. He's an awesome dude, and obviously he hits bombs. But when they signed Nick Castellanos, I was running around my house because I said, they just signed one of the best pure hitters in baseball.
Absolutely.
We did not see that for a good part of this season. We are starting to see it now. If you have followed Nick Castellanos' career, the guy can flat out hit. And often, it's a cliche, you hear it all the time. Oftentimes, in 162 games, guys end up being what they are on the back of their baseball card. And
yes.
If Nick ends up being what's on the back of his baseball card, he's going to be batting right around 300. He's going to have, 30 doubles. And that means he's going to have a monster August and September. If that happens, he's going to be wildly popular in this town. And that's why I just, I get so aggravated when people go 0-60 the other way when things aren't going well. It's like, just pump the brakes. Just let it happen. 162. Allow it to breathe. And oftentimes things start to work out.
I mean, is it unbeknownst to all of us that he may have sold Ben Simmons' house over the last couple of weeks, and that might be the reason why the trajectory is changing?
I could call it Realtor.com. I will not go anywhere. I don't pay attention to any of that stuff. Had you not told me that 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't know that he lived in Ben Simmons' house. I don't care that he lives in Ben Simmons' house, unless he wants to sell it and use me as his realtor. That's fine. But other than that, then I couldn't care less about that kind of thing. What I like to see is it's fun to watch.
He acknowledged it, too, in the post-game interview with the TV guys.
He felt it.
Yes. He said how cool that was when he was rounding second base and he saw all the guys on that top step on the railing, and they're all going nuts. That's a good feeling to have, and that's going to lead to more positive momentum over the last couple months because, like you said, he's one of the best pure hitters in baseball. When that swing is right, it's one of the freest swings that there is in the whole game. And what he said the other day in that post-game interview was that now he's starting to see, hey, instead of trying to, hit bombs and doubles, hey, I'm going to take that base hit to right.
Absolutely.
I'm going to let the guys behind me clean up.
Yeah.
Drive me in. I'll be the one on base, and you drive me in.
Yeah, and when he does that, when he's 0-2 and, there's a slider on the outside corner and he just reaches out and is able to poke it to right field. First of all, it's demoralizing for the pitcher.
They were getting him out for the most part at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, so now he's kind of dialed back a little bit and he's staying on those baseballs. But that's when now they all of a sudden they're like, all right, we can't get him out there. Now we got to come in. And then, boom, he turns on one and hits a home run. That's adjustments in Major League Baseball, and he's starting to really make those. Take what they give you, and then, boom, hit the mistakes. And that's what we're seeing out of Nick Castellanos right now. It's been great.
Before I ask you about the Juan Soto situation with him being traded to San Diego, just a couple quick updates. I know Zach Eflin was transferred over to the 60-day IL. And when can we expect to see Sam Coonrod's return to the Major League roster?
I don't have much information on Sam Coonrod. His velocity was down at AAA last week, and they kind of called it a little bit of a dead arm period. So he's continuing to, work down there and try to get back. That normally takes 7 to 10 days to start working back, and if it is indeed a dead arm, there's no structural damage. They're not worried about an injury. They just think, here he is, a guy that hasn't pitched in a while. So his velocity was there right after the injury, and then it went away. So they're waiting on him. Zach Kaplan, he is available to come back August 25th. Is the first day that he could come back and join this roster. He pitched an up and down on Friday, which basically means he went out to the bullpen, he pitched, got three outs, sat down, waited a little bit, got back up, pitched again.
It's kind of like a simulated game.
Sort of like a simulated game. And so he was able to do that. After that game, up and down, he did say he was a little bit sore. But the next day, he said he felt really good. So that's a good sign. So that was yesterday. He's very much in the reevaluation process. And we can't see him until August 25th. So they're going to take it slow with him.
Okay. So Juan Soto. There was a lot of trades done at the Major League Baseball trade deadline on Tuesday. I understand a bit of the urgency that the Nationals had as far as wanting to move him. I just don't believe it was the right time and the right situation. I mean, like, if you would have waited until the winter meetings
after the season's over, you might have more desperate teams that are willing to give you more than what they wound up getting. I mean, part of that deal all along was taking on the contract and the money from Eric Hosmer, who poo-pooed that. He's like, No, thank you. I don't blame him for that. I mean, he went to another last-place team in Boston.
Yeah, but a little bit of a different culture over there.
And at least they're somewhat relevant. I mean, they're still within shouting distance of the wild card spot.
And in the next couple of years, they're going to be relevant as well. Right. The Nationals most likely will not.
36 points, the worst team in baseball. I'm just a little surprised by it. I mean, an executive that's been around as long as he has been, and Mike Rizzo, I think he kind of reached on this. I'm not really too sure with the return that they got. All I see is the Padres getting an all-star first baseman and one of the most generational talents in all of baseball.
Yeah, and Josh Bell they got.
All-star first baseman.
Yeah, they got. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So they got two really, I mean, one incredibly talented player and one really good player.
At 23 years old. I just felt like they could have got more.
And what I would say, Zach, is
I'm glad they
it doesn't matter when they traded him. We would have said the exact same thing if they traded him in the offseason. So at the end of the day, Mike Rizzo, first of all, it would have been a major distraction for the rest of the season with Juan Soto. I think getting him out of Washington was probably the right call. I have no idea if they got anybody back that's going to be a big league player. Probably Mike Rizzo doesn't either. Probably most people don't. And anyone who tells you they don't is wrong because we don't know, right?
Right.
You know,
that's why they call prospects.
Exactly. When you trade a generational kind of player, there's almost no way that you're going to get back anything close to value. And unfortunately, the situation was so untenable in Washington that it came to the point where they had to trade him. And that hurts the Washington Nationals franchise for a long time to come because you're giving up that talent and you really don't know what you're getting back. Hey, maybe they get four guys that end up in the big leagues. And that'd be great. But they're not going to get Juan Soto. And so therefore, I don't think Mike Rizzo had much of an opportunity to be the winner in any of this. And so at that point, you just try not to be the ultimate loser. And you hope that what you get back is pretty good. It's such a rarity to trade a guy like Juan Soto at age 23 with what he is. I mean, if he continues on the path that he's on, he's going to go down as one of the best, 25, 30 hitters in Major League history, probably. And how do you do that? It'll be interesting. I think they made the right move. I wouldn't have waited. I would have made the deal.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look at it from this context, too. Since 2018, they've lost Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon, Max Scherzer, Trey Turner, Juan Soto.
Wow.
And again, we've talked about this. I want to know how much of that money that they offered to Soto was deferred until he was 65, like they tried doing with Bryce Harper. And when they thanked him on Twitter the other day, they said, thank you, Juan. They had pictures on there, which I had the comment. I'm guessing the rest of this thank you is being deferred until he turns 65.
Yeah,
I didn't get any response from the Nationals on that.
No, I'm sure they'll get back to you.
I don't think there were fans of that. I mean, some of their fans did respond to my kind gesture towards their franchise.
I'm sure there was some very good conversation going back and forth for you and the nation's capital. Look, it's a crazy situation. I would have loved to have seen him get traded to the American League, quite frankly. The fact that he's going to be in the National League going forward.
At least it wasn't the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I'm tired of seeing the Dodgers get all these
as
guys.
I'm
sick and tired of it.
I'm very tired of that. However, getting out there in Seattle would have been okay. That would have been all right. But,
only Ruben Amaro trades guys to Seattle for nothing.
I remember that. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But, we're 10 years away from being able to evaluate that deal. So, might as well wait.
Well, I'm looking at the fact that the Green Legion is looking to go down and take back Nationals Park in September. I know Quimby's been talking about it with us going down there. But that's not all we have coming up as far as the Green Legion's concerned. We're going to be traveling to Chicago, Arizona, Indianapolis, Houston. We're taking a bus trip down to D.C. to see Carson Wentz and the Commodes. We're going to go up to the Swamp and see the Giants continue to suck. If you want to join us, go to greenlegion.com or call the office at 215-666-5940 today. Coming up in our last segment, Murph continues to struggle with his picks. We have some Can You Believe It's, which I can
long
believe the fact.
Long season.
Long season. You're running out of time. Tick-tock, baby. Right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Hey, welcome back. Final segment here on this Sunday morning. Down at South Philadelphia, right outside Citizens Bank Park at Xfinity Live. Great crowd out here today as everybody is down here to see our Fightin' Phils try and break out the brooms yet again this Sunday. You know, programming has never felt so good than it has the last couple months for us, Murph, because last year in the beginning part of this season, I felt like it was a roller coaster. One week we're ripping the team. Well, I'm ripping the team.
Yeah.
And then the very next week we're praising the team. And, you know, this season we've had a really good stretch here. I want to see it continue until the early parts of November.
One of these days, partner, you're gonna adopt my theory of just relax. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. 160. This isn't the football season. This isn't 18 games. This is 162. You're gonna lose a lot. You're gonna win a lot. And the rest is
when
unfolding.
When I start getting paychecks from the Phillies too, that's when
it has nothing to do with that. I've always been that way. I was that way when I was an anchor at NBC, and that's the way I am when it comes to baseball. Football is different. Football is the one sport where you kind of have to live and die
right
with every game.
Yeah.
The rest of the sports, you do not. And I mean, basketball, you can lose 10 in a row in the NBA and make the postseason. You can't do that in the NFL, but you certainly can do it in baseball, and you certainly can do it in the other sports. So you just have to take a breath and allow it to happen.
Well,
I know you hate that, but...
I really don't. No, I'm an overreactor. I have been my whole entire life, so...
There you go.
It worked. You can ask Pat. The year the Phillies won the World Series in 2008... And they were middling in that beginning part of August,
yeah,
right around 500.
Yeah.
And they played the Pirates, and they lost 2-0 in the 12th inning that night. And we're walking out of the ballpark, and I'm chanting on the way out of the ballpark. I'm ripping every person on the team.
Right.
I think they went 30 games over 500 the rest of the season after I destroyed them with that.
Yeah.
And they heard me. They heard me in the clubhouse.
Newsflash. That had nothing to do with you.
It's just like Jim Salisbury with Nick Castellanos. I want to believe that it is.
Well, you can believe what you want. I can tell you with 100% certainty that, you know what happened? That team started to play better. And they started to get their act together.
And they heard me.
Yeah.
They heard my voice.
They heard you. Okay. Let's go with that.
All right.
I don't even know what to say.
Best duo or pairing.
Yes.
Okay. Outside of the two of us.
Right.
Outside of L.A. and Fransky, and outside of Harry and Whitey.
Yeah. They are off the table. You're not allowed
to
say that.
Off the table. They never belonged there to begin with, just because we're trying to be fair to everybody else.
Yes.
Okay. Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Okay.
Laverne and Shirley.
That's a good one.
Burger and Fries.
Well, that's a classic.
It is. Barbie and Ken. Not a winner for me.
No.
Bill and Monica. Oh, Jesus.
Bill. Oh, I had to think about that one for a minute.
So okay. Did I.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Simon and Garfunkel.
You know, it's funny. They popped into my head when I was thinking about my list.
Simon and Garfunkel?
Yeah, they didn't make my list.
Or
but
Bill
yeah
and Monica.
No.
Okay.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Okay. Bacon and Eggs. Bert and Ernie.
Bert and Ernie.
Chicken and Waffles. Tom and Jerry. Sonny and Cher. Cheech and Chong.
Wow.
How do you have Simon and Garfunkel, but you don't have Hall & Oates?
Yeah, you know.
I find that a violation.
Especially local guys.
Yeah.
Local guys.
Come on. How about that? All right.
Why don't you give me your top five, and let's see if any of them fall on that list.
None of them fall on that list. So the one I gave you already was baseball and the radio, right?
Yes.
They go hand in hand. I have a new appreciation for that. How about, and this one goes back, because obviously when we think about great duos here in Philly, Harry and Whitey are always right there at the top. But growing up and listening to football on the radio, now I'm 50, so growing up and I'm looking
how
around
old
the crowd, I'm 50.
Okay.
Looking around the crowd, there are others who will remember this.
Almost 51.
Merle Reese and Stan Walters together calling Eagles football was my formative years of becoming an Eagles fan, and they were so good together. Now, I love Mike Quick, and I love Mike Quick as a person, and I love Mike Quick as a broadcaster, but when I was a kid, it was Stan Walters. And you probably don't remember. I mean, you might remember Stan, but you don't remember him as a broadcaster. They were so good together. And Merle's obviously a legend in this town. So for me, those two on my list. All right. In terms of food, I went with, I'm not a big sweets guy, but I do like a brownie now and then. But I cannot have a brownie unless I have like a big glass of ice cold milk. So brownies and milk. I'm sure a lot of people chocolate chip cookies and milk. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going brownies and milk. An ice cold beer and an autumn bonfire out in the backyard.
You're speaking my language.
There's nothing better than that feeling, that smell,
yeah.
that
light hoodie.
Yeah. Maybe you're listening to baseball on the radio at that point.
I'm listening to you guys.
I hope you are.
Especially the Friday Night Roundtable.
I hope you are. Okay, and then I said baseball on the radio. And finally, this is kind of an odd one, but it's a kind of an homage to the 1980 World Series team, because there's a connection there, and also kind of a way that I like to go about my everyday business in my life. Tug McGraw, obviously on the 80 team. His son Tim McGraw, one of my favorite songs of all time, Humble and Kind. Those two qualities in a person together, I think, are two of the best qualities that you can have, to be humble and kind. So I put them together. And that's number five for me.
I like that. So what are we going to go with? Where are you leaning?
You're going to have to quickly go through that again.
All right. Han Solo and Chewbacca, you're not a Star Wars guy. Laverne and Shirley, Burger and Fries, Barbie and Ken, Bill and Monica, which I'm kind of leaning on, Simon and Garfunkel, Bacon and Eggs, Bert and Ernie, Chicken and Waffles, Tom and Jerry, Sonny and Cher, Cheech and Chong.
All right. I love Bert and Ernie, but I'm going Burgers and Fries.
Burgers and Fries. All right. I'm going Bill and Monica. Flash, break the tie.
Oh, man. I got to go with Bill and Monica.
Yes! Yes!
I gotta go.
I think it's the first time all season someone is...
Seriously, I go humble and kind, and you guys go Bill and Monica? My Lord.
This is Green Legion Radio. We needed to go off the rails a little bit.
Yes, we had to go off the rails. All right, Sam, let me know who Bill and Monica is, because at least I know that person exists somewhere along the line here. So, Bill and Monica, congratulations. You know what I'm not going to say is congratulations on the fact that you went 1-2 last week with 1 point. You're now 18-24 on the season with 23 points. I went 3-0.
Yeah.
5-point week, 23-19, 32 points. I'm running away with this thing right now, so
we'll see.
You've got some ground to make up, so give me your first pick for this week.
That's what you said about the Braves and the Mets in the division, too. We'll see. We'll see what happens when it's all said and done. That said, you get what you pay for, and this is why I don't bet for real.
You're going to try and dime me out here, because you picked the Mets to win the division after the first week of the season. You switched your pick. You were going Braves? Yeah.
Oh. Well, you know, hey, you let me. So, all right.
I did.
Here we go.
Congratulations to Ashton Meter, by the way. That was fantastic.
There you go. All right. Braves and Mets. That's where I'm going today. Over-under is 7. You have Strider and DeGrom. You talk about a pitching matchup that you think to yourself, all right, nobody's going to get a base hit in this game. So when I see that, I think over. I think it goes the other way. It's only 7. So I'm going over 7 in the Mets and the Braves today.
And DeGrom's probably only going to go about 5 or 6 today. So I'm going to stick with that game too, but I took the Braves. I mean, plus 125. I mean, that's my dog pick this week. They've lost 3 of the first 4 in that series to the Mets. I don't see them losing 4 or 5.
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
And I just think they're going to get the power of the mustache from Strider today.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good.
I think he gets them back on the rails this afternoon. Or are they playing tonight? Are they,
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock?
They're 4 o'clock.
Okay, so I'm taking the Braves. Second pick.
All right, Mariners and Angels are out there in Seattle. The M's bounce back. They win the series today. They lost last night. I think they win today. They're the favorites at minus 160. So I'll take them as my favorite today. Seattle over the Angels. I don't think the Angels can do it 2 games in a row.
My favorite is the Orioles, minus 175. They've won their last 5 in a row. They have the Pirates at home. 5 in a row since trading Trey Mancini.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
So I'm going to take them to sweep the Pirates today. Your last pick.
All right. Blue Jays and Twins.
I was about to say, are we betting hockey now?
Yeah, no. Blue Jays and Twins. Gausman and Archer in this one. Not a great pitching matchup. Kind of two guys that have been pretty good this year. The Twins are the underdogs at 140. Twins are a good team. They certainly could win this game. I don't know if they will, but I'll take them as the underdog. Plus 140, and we'll ride that. There's my underdog pick.
All right, my last pick is White Sox Rangers over 8.5 runs today in Texas. It's a plus 100. Giolito has been disappointing this year. Your AL Cy Young Award winner. Spencer Howard, stunk. They're going over 8.5 today down in Texas. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? We've only got like 2 or 3 minutes left. So let's roll through these pretty fast. What's your first one?
All right. So most 10-plus strikeout games in a major league career. Nolan Ryan, way out in front. Well, not way out in front. 215 times he did that. Randy Johnson, 212. Then you have to go all the way down to Roger Clemens at 110. But Max Scherzer sits at 109 now, so he's going to pass Roger Clemens before it's all said and done, become number three on the all-time list. Can you believe that?
We lost one of the great all-time voices in baseball and all sports this week, and Vin Scully. Did you know, and it's courtesy of Fransky in L.A., their Twitter handle, Richie Ashburn played in the first game Vin Scully ever broadcast it, and Chase Utley played in the last one.
Yeah, yeah, how about that? That's
pretty cool, right?
That's very cool. All right, the season of Aaron Judge continues this from MLB stats. How about the month of July that he had? Home runs, 13, that ranked first. RBIs, 32 in the month, that ranked first. Slugging at 806, that's second. OPS, 1252, also second. That's a pretty good month, right, for Aaron Judge?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, you talk about betting on yourself and it all working out.
He's going to get paid for sure. And I take great pleasure in this one. The Giants lost 55 games all of last season, and as of this week, they've already gone over that total. With 2 months left in the season, fantastic. Gabe Kapler, I knew you were a fraud and a phony all along.
What if he wins the next 40? Could happen.
Don't do this to me. All right, what do we have? Season. What do we have for this week ahead? We have the Phillies wrapping up their series today against the Nationals, breaking out the brooms with Aaron Nola on the hill. Off on Monday, three more at home against the Marlins before a big series next weekend in Queens against the Mets.
Yeah, you know, the Mets are looming, but you got to worry about this Nationals team here today and then play well against the Marlins as well. Then you head up to New York. And then after New York, you get Cincinnati. You know, not that you can, you know, take your foot off the gas pedal, but those are the teams that you need to be beating. But, yeah, it would be great if they can continue to play the way they're playing right now. I was trying to see what the pitching matchup would be in New York. I was trying to pencil it out.
I think Wheeler is Sunday. Nola's on Friday. Yeah. No. Nola's on Saturday. Rangers on Friday. And then Wheeler pitches Tuesday. He's pitching on Sunday next week.
As of now. I mean, that's not official, obviously. But as of now, I think that's the way it'll play out. So the way I was looking at it, because I think DeGrom is in game one against
DeGrom
Rangers.
Versus Nola, from what I saw on Saturday.
The way I looked at it was advantage Mets game one. Kind of a push game two, advantage Phillies game three, which is exactly the way it should be when you head up there to New York. So we'll wait and see, but that should be a lot of fun.
Yep. You know what was a lot of fun? Today's show. Awesome crowd out here at Xfinity Live. Again, you guys want to listen to us, we're on from 11 to noon every Sunday on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, or download the iHeartRadio app, and you can listen to us anywhere, crystal clear, worldwide. Partner, I'll see you next week in Citi Field. Sunday. We'll be online together. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. For Greg Murphy / John Jansen, Sam Brady, I'm Chris Sack. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Let's go, Phillies. Break out the brooms.